This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. So, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Please be seated. Words taken from today's second reading and from today's gospel. How often is it that you've heard somebody say something and misunderstood it? Your mind just isn't there, okay? Somebody says something to you, and either you misinterpret it or you misconceive what they're saying, and they look at you like, are you with me or not? Or how many times has it been that somebody says something to you and you're not there? I can remember a time at my third parish in Omaha where I was delivering a sermon, and afterwards at the entrance of the church we used to greet people at the end of the service, and it happened that the mayor of the city was there. He had a reputation for being assertive. Some would say aggressive. Others might say belligerent. He was having a particularly bad stretch in his office at that time. And I remember coming out and greeting him and him saying to me, you know, I take issue with what you just said. And I said, well, what exactly was it that you take issue with? And he began going off on a kind of a rant, and there was no resemblance whatsoever to anything that I had said. But it occurred up here in his mind. We find ourselves often, because of distractions, because of what's happening in our lives or in the lives of others, at this gesture or this juncture where we're passing like ships in the night. We don't hear each other, we don't understand each other, we aren't listening, not because maybe we don't want to, but because the capacity to listen and to hear and to see isn't there. We misperceive things. Take, for example, the story of Hannah and Peninnah and Elkanah in today's first reading. The situation is that this is the time in the Old Testament where a man could have multiple wives. I don't know how they did it, but... but his wife Peninnah has borne him many sons, and Hannah, none at all. And she's grieving about this, and he knows that. And he says what many women in the congregation this morning would probably identify with and say, typical man, don't I mean more to you than any son? Doesn't understand the situation at all. And so she goes to the temple at Shiloh, and she's there praying, murmuring under her breath. She can't be heard. And Eli the priest sees her, and again, the perception on his part, we don't know why, is that she has been drinking. She's drunk. Drunk in the temple of the Lord. A shameful thing. And so he approaches her and confronts her about it. And in a wonderful play on the Hebrew, she tells him that she is not drunk, but she has been pouring out her heart to the Lord. And of course, her wish is granted. She goes back to Ramah with her husband, and she bears a son, Samuel. In today's gospel, we have another misperception of reality. The disciples are in Jerusalem with Jesus, probably the first time they've seen the temple precincts, they've seen the capital, the beautiful marble, the gold, everything there, and they are marveling at the buildings and everything that's about the place. They're like people who may have gone from Wahoo, Nebraska to Washington, D.C. for the first time. And Jesus says, you see these buildings? all of them will be thrown down. None of them will exist. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but don't be deceived. Don't allow yourself to be deceived. We hear that part, and we think wars, rumors of wars, it's not too different from our time. But then we miss the part that says, these are but the birth pangs of something that is yet to come. Something wonderful is going to happen, but we have to get through this first. We misperceive things. All the great mystics and spiritual writers down through the centuries, not only within the Christian tradition, but if you were to look into the Buddhist tradition, the Sufi tradition, Hindu tradition, the Jewish tradition, all point towards the same thing, that there is a wholeness hidden deep within reality, a unity that is a God-given unity, and that we have nothing to fear. Our distractions, our abilities to see only what is in front of us, only what is of immediate concern, take us away from that understanding of that deeper reality. We get caught up in the wars and rumors of wars. We watch television, and God knows, when you have a 24-hour cable news channel, or many of them, something has to be kept in the forefront, because otherwise you don't get commercial sponsorship. I can remember the days when cable was still free of commercials. That was a long time ago. But you have to have something that generates money so that you can be on TV. And so you don't tell stories about, for instance, a young man who was going down the street and noticed that a squirrel had been hit by a car. This is a real story. He got out of the car and began doing, with his fingers, doing CPR on the squirrel. Patiently, quietly, probably to the amazement of anybody that saw him do that. And after a while, the squirrel gets up and scampers off. This story about a nurse in the fires in California wearing one of those orange flak jackets so she could be seen. Her jacket was on fire, and she still went into the fire to rescue somebody that she knew was there. Or the story of the garbage man driving a garbage truck to rescue a woman in her 90s who used to leave cookies and treats for him on his route. Now, a 24-hour news cycle, 7 days a week, how many people were going to watch stories like that over and over and over again? We don't watch that. But we have to understand that what we see on television, what we read in the newspaper, always skews our perception of what reality is. The reality that is undergirded by God's love as the source of all being. A reality in which we are loved. A reality in which we have nothing to fear. There is in everything a kind of a wholeness that we don't perceive, a holiness that we don't perceive, a unity that we don't perceive. That's why we've been, over the last few months, talking so much about spiritual practices, about seeking the Holy One in silence, seeking the Holy One in prayer, not from a prayer book, but here in the heart. That's where God resides, not out there, but here. And there we have nothing to fear. We're going to encounter resistance because we're going to have these voices in our minds telling us that this is a waste of time, that it done consistently is a consistent waste of time, that the world out there, that's reality. That's only one aspect of reality. And an imperfect one at that, and we live with it. We don't get to make the choice to live in a completely perfect world where everything is peaceful and everything is fine and everything is love. But we have to realize that to some extent we, by our choices, by the way we live each day, we create the reality that we desire. We're not passive recipients of a reality that is given to us. We create the reality we desire by being the kind of people we want to be, the kind of people we would aspire to be. And we can't do that alone. To do that, we need one another. To do that, we need to be grounded in something deeper, more transcendent than the reality that we see in front of us. One of my favorite prayers in the prayer book, and I'd ask you to turn to it. We could pray it together. It's on page 280 in the prayer book. Oddly enough, it speaks of this divine undergirding of reality and the fact that our reality is safeguarded by God and rooted in something bigger than ourselves. Oddly enough, it is used on two occasions. The occasion of ordination, when a weak person, an imperfect person, is called by God and ordained to be a spokesperson for God or to represent God in some way, with all their faults and weaknesses and foibles. And on Good Friday, the day in which seemingly all hope is lost, there is nothing to hope for, we hear this prayer. And I invite you to pray with me, the bottom of page 280. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably upon your whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery. By the effectual working of your providence, carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation. Let the whole world see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, that things which had grown old are being made new. By him who all things were made, your Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. As we approach this Thanksgiving holiday, we have so much for which to be thankful that we do not see. All the light that we do not see that is yet before us. Living in faith, grounded in faith and prayer, let us live into the reality that we desire to create. A better world. A world in which we can not only perceive the love that is ours in God, but perceiving it and receiving it and knowing it firsthand, share it with one another. Amen.